The larger problem, though, is the possibility that world leaders would stop talking about a one-world banking system and demand that it be implemented immediately to stave off a worsened worldwide economic crisis. You know, one-world banking system in itself has prophetic mark of the beast implications. One-world banking, a one-world order, a one-world leader. I mean, now we could be talking about the Antichrist of Revelation 13:16, that cashless society whereby he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Mm-hmm. And here's wisdom. It goes on to say, to calculate the number of the beast, for his number is of a man. His number is 666.
Right.
Now, John, the apostle, 2,000 years ago, many of us believe, was talking about a computer technology that exists today.
Right. Are we that close to the end? I mean, Revelation 13, cashless society, supposedly occurs in the seven-year tribulation period, and that period whereby God pours out his trumpet and bold judgments upon all unsaved, sinful humanity. Are we that close, Bill?
Dave, I believe we could be. You know, let me talk for a moment about a book that I just co-authored with 20 different authors called The How to Overcome the Most Frightening Issues You Will Face This Century. And there's authors in there like Terry James, Dr. Joseph Chambers, Wilfred Hahn, The Economist, Tom Horn of a famous author, Patrick Heron, who gets into the Nephilim and stuff.
What a list.
John McTernan. There's just a whole bunch of guys in there. I don't have time to go over them all, but the book is now available on my website at prophecydepot.com and amazon.com, of course. But my chapter in there was called The Final Century, Christian Survival versus Pagan Revival.
Right.
And, you know, by the way, some of the chapter titles, if this isn't mm-hmm. alarming, Nuclear Armageddon, Pandemics and Emerging Diseases, Food and Fuel Shortages, Collapse of Financial Institutions, Prophecies of Doom, The Coming Persecutions of Christians, The Coming of the Antichrist. And like I told you, my chapter was the Final Century chapter. And in my chapter, Dave, I'm explaining through biblical and extra-biblical and secular sources why this is likely the final century. You know, Dave, biblically, I point out that scholars today are hard-pressed to locate even a single prophecy out of the myriad of prophecies remaining to be fulfilled that couldn't occur in the very near future. Mm-hmm. And I cite things like Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 and the cashless society we talked about, you know, that these things all appear to be stage-setting. And I get into some extra biblical sources that suggest apocalyptic scenarios like mm-hmm. the end of the world will occur in the year 2012 at the end of the Mayan calendar. You know, Mark Hitchcock came out with a book called 2012,
right?
A bestseller out at Amazon and elsewhere right now, because this topic is definitely on the minds of millions. Additionally, many Muslims like Ahmadinejad, like I was talking about, are predicting that we're in the end times and the nearby coming of the Mahdi, the end times Islamic Messiah. So I get into some of that. And then secularly, I state the world is entered into the final threshold decade of by turbulent events. If you look at some of these, let's just take a moment to walk down memory lane of the first decade of this century. September 11th, Al-Qaeda attack, you know, topples down the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. That was in this century.
In this century.
The Asian tsunami of December 26, 2004, which was generated by that 9.1 earthquake in the Indian Ocean, killed an estimated 225,000 people in 11 countries. It was labeled the deadliest natural disaster in recorded history. Now, Jesus Christ talked about in the end times earthquakes. And in Luke, he talked about great earthquakes. Now, recently in Vanuatu, the Torres Island on October 7th of 09, there was a 7.6 earthquake. And Sumatra on September 30th of 09, there was another 7.6. The Samoa Islands, September 29th, same month, day before, 8.0. These are huge earthquakes.
Right, they are.
Java, Indonesia, September 2nd, month of September, 7.0. I mean, these are coming with a big flurry, and that's not all. Andaman Islands in the India region on August 10th, so the month prior in August, 7.6. And Izu Islands, Japan region, in August 9th, it was a 7.1. I mean, it's almost like every month now.
Right.
There are multiple powerful earthquakes going on. And then also, as I mentioned earlier, when I talked in at the conference with David Reagan and Broussard, Hurricane Katrina happened this century, August 2005. It ranked as the costliest hurricane in American history. And, of course, it was followed by another Cat 5 storm, Rita, the month later. Then we had the financial crisis of 2007, and that's still continuing, that caused the collapse of numerous major banking and financial institutions. So if you stockpile upon the list that I just gave, the ongoing American invasion of Afghanistan that's been going on since October 2001, that's causing Obama all kinds of guff now because he's being requested to send more troops over there, and he's being a little bit indecisive about that. The ongoing Iraq Operation Iraqi Freedom, that's still going on. It commenced in March of 2003. The ongoing subprime lending crisis of 2005. Like I said, the Russian invasion of Georgia, that happened in August of 2008. More recently, the 34-day conflict in July 2006. Actually, that's not more recently, but that was we got to mention that Hezbollah conflict. That was back in July of 2006. And now they've got 40,000 rockets. Back then, they only had 4,000 that they lobbed at Israel.
Man.
Took them 34 days to launch all those. Can you imagine how they either launch 40,000 an amazing attack, or they go 10 months launching, they did before, which I doubt that will happen. Israel won't tolerate that. But and then, of course, you had Operation Cast Lead. It concluded in January of 2009 with between Israel and Hamas. So those are just some of the biblical, extra-biblical, and secular sources that I bring forward.
Yeah, those secular reasons that identify that we're likely living in the last century. Bill, you've got our listeners all stressed out.
Sorry about that.
What good is there now? We remember that in Isaiah it talks about some prophecies that are pretty encouraging. Jesus Christ is returning soon, and when he does, he'll set up his glorious thousand-year messianic reign. In Isaiah 11, it says the wolf, like you mentioned before, shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid goat. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And a nursing child will play by the cobra's hole, and weaned child will put their hand in a viper's den. And the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's Isaiah 6 through 9. Bill, in spite of all the turmoil in the world, and we see this encouraging prophecy, we have to remind our listeners that our hope is not in the things that happen in this world. Our hope is in Jesus Christ.
That's absolutely right, Dave. And of course, that would be a great concluding prophecy that you read to conclude this session. However, I'm not done talking. There's a whole lot more to go. We're going to play the good cop, bad cop role on
there
this
you
one
go.
Right here. No, I think that's wonderful. We do need to remind the listeners that there is so much more to look forward to in the Messianic Kingdom. And as we conclude, we'll talk about how those who don't even know Jesus now can get to know Jesus and to be part of that Messianic Kingdom along with you and I and many of our listeners, Dave. But, between now and the return of Jesus when he sets up that kingdom, there's a whole lot of prophecies that are going to happen.
Right.
110 somewhat pages, as I was using in that example earlier. And I believe the next prophetic Mideast news headline is going to be Psalm 83. I believe that that Arab-Israeli war, foretold 3,000 years ago by Asaph, is about to occur, and I would not be surprised if it doesn't occur in a retaliatory response of Israel preempting a strike against Iran, and that could very well happen as soon as next year, 2010. We don't know. Now, for the listeners not familiar with Psalm 83, Psalm 83, verse 4 and 5 says, they have said, referring to 10 Arab populations that surround Israel, that have been Israel's enemies from time immemorial, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, referring to God, referring to God's people, Israel. Dave, they're not divided. They're united. And, of course, they form a confederacy together with one consent. They consult together with one consent. This is what Islam has done. It has united these populations. They used to fight against each other. but it has united them, and they're going to consult together with one unified consent that they want to destroy the nation of Israel. And then verses 6 to 8 tell us who they are. I won't elaborate upon that, but it is the Hezbollah, Syria, Hamas, Palestinians, and those nations around Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to wipe Israel off the map. So they are bordering Israel today, and one of their loudest spokes terrorist groups is the Hezbollah. And a televised address recently on September 18th of 2009, the Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, Secretary General, can you get that? He was just nothing but a terrorist, but now he's a Secretary General. He laid down the main tenets of his organization. He stated on this televised address that the historical Palestine for the Mediterranean Sea to the River Jordan belongs to the Palestinian people and to the entire Muslim nation.
Hmm.
He went on to say that no one has the right to relinquish even a grain of Palestinian soil or a drop of its waters. Now, in the Middle East, waters are very important, and it's a major area of tension between some
right.
of those nations and who gets what water rights and so
and
on and so forth.
It has been since the time of Jacob.
Yeah, and so what he's saying is soil or water hitting a nerve by that statement. And then he goes on to say, he said many, many things. And by the way, in Prophecy Depot, I have an article on everything he said, but I'm only going to give you a few of these things.
Okay.
ProphecyDepot.com, again, as a reminder to the listeners, which is my site, website. He went on to say that the Israeli entity is an occupying, aggressive, cancerous body that contravenes religious law and is therefore, get this, illegal. He's calling Israel illegal. Okay, well, I'm sure God will be, that's
yes.
new news to God.
Yes.
Okay, so then he goes on to say that that is forbidden, that it is forbidden to recognize the Israeli entity or to acknowledge its legitimacy or existence. He went on to say, and that it is forbidden to establish ties or to normalize relationships with Israel. Now, those two right there, to acknowledge the legitimacy of Israel's existence or to normalize relationships with Israel. This is all that Israel is, first of all, an international country, America, for instance, is recognized and,
sure.
and has the privilege of normalized relationships with other nations. Israel is, by many Arab nations, is not being given either of those, legitimacy or normalized relations. And that's all they're really asking for, to give up so many things. They want to be recognized their right to exist as a Jewish state, and they want the Arab League to normalize relationships with them. And you know what? Hassan Nasrallah, the mouthpiece of many of those Arabs over there, is saying that is just not going to happen. Uh-huh. Israel's illegal, and there's just no way that Muslims can allow that to happen.
Even historically, you can prove that historically that Israel is a legitimate nation.
Well, there's a deeper motive for that.
Absolutely,
they don't want Israel to be recognized as the Jewish state because they've got these Palestinian refugees, millions of them, that have not been they became refugees in 1948 and they've remained refugees for 61 years, and they're in the Gaza, they're in the West Bank, and they're sprinkled all around the bordering refugee camps around the nation of Israel into some of these bordering nations. Israel cannot allow these Palestinian refugees to come back into Israel proper, which is what the Arabs want.
Sure.
They want Israel to assimilate these Palestinian refugees back into Israel proper. Now, that is an impossibility if Israel is recognized as a Jewish state. Why would you allow Palestinians into a Jewish
sure.
state?
Right.
And so that's the major source of contention along with East Jerusalem. And so, but Nasrallah went on to say that Israel must cease to exist. Wow, that sounds like a Psalm 83 echo. That the next war should change the regional map and the Hezbollah can destroy, get this, Hassan Nasrallah, Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, believes that Hezbollah can presently destroy half of the Israeli army.
Mm.
That's incredible. Now, you know, he's not alone. And we talk about Iran's proxy, Syria, Hezbollah. Well, we also have the Hamas. And Hamas aren't at the same level of military prowess as the Hezbollah. And, of course, they've been dealt a heavy blow in Operation Cast Lead. However, they are the representative government of the Palestinian people. They were voted into elections in January 26th of 06. And their charter, the three of their main tenets, is Israel will exist and continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. Number two, the land of Palestine is to be Islamic. consecrated to future Muslim generations until Judgment Day. They also believe in a Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And three, there is only one solution to resolve the conflict, and that is...
jihad.
Take a guess. Yeah. Jihad. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We're not going to get peace going with these folks.
Bill, you talk about the Hamas and Hezbollah. What about the other Palestinian people in general, as well as the Fatah? Do they feel the same way?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the Fatah and the Hamas have been a bit at odds. The Fatah generally reign out of the West Bank, which is on the east side of Israel and sort of separated between Jordan and Israel.
Uh-huh.
And then the Hamas sort of reign in Gaza, which is on the just above Egypt on the west coast by the Mediterranean of Israel, the southwest coast there. But they're still Palestinians in both instances. But Abbas is the president of the Fatah Party. Now, the Fatah Party, of course, did not win the elections. The Hamas won the elections in 06. But when Abbas was questioned about Benjamin Netanyahu's desire to be recognized, Israel to be recognized as a Jewish state,
mm-hmm.
he said, and I think this was back in April of 09, he said that Israel can call itself what it wants, but I do not accept it, and I say so publicly. Mm. That's a direct quote.
Right.
In other words, he cannot allow Israel to become the Jewish state because his people want to go back in and take over Israel. You know, the Arabs don't want peace with the Jews. They want peace without the Jews. They don't want another. They don't want a Jewish state. They want one more Arab state called Palestine. So they're not looking for a two-state solution. Now, the news, Dave, is that Israel is going to win the war of Psalm 83. And in my book, Israelistine, the Ancient Blueprints of the Future Middle East, I point this out in the numerous scriptures that elaborate upon this. But that's the good news for Israel. And the Palestinian prognosis, since you're asking about them, is summed up in one part on Obadiah, chapter 1, verses 17 through 18, that says, "The house of Jacob," and that would be referring to Israel, "shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph," also Israel, "a flame. But the house of Esau," and that would be representative of the Palestinians, "shall be stubble, and no survivor shall remain in the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken."
Amen.
Now, I won't get into a long, lengthy genealogy of Jacob and Esau. They were twin brothers, but...
But you lay all that stuff out in your book, Israelistine.
Exactly. I have a whole chapter called the Hudamites, who are the Edomites today. but within the Edomites, who are the descendants of Esau, Jacob's twin brother, you have Palestinians. You have ethnical representation of Edomites and the Palestinians. So what Obadiah was telling us is that it's going to be detrimental. No survivors in the Palestinians.
Right.
Because they're the lead player. The tents of Edom are the lead player of the 10 populations in Psalm 83, verses 6 through 8. So for that leading role, their reward will be utter defeat.
Mm. So what's the good news, Bill?
Well, the good news is that Israel wins. I mean, that's... and you know what? That is good news. Because what that will mean will be, first of all, that God is a promise keeper and that the Jews cannot be destroyed. He promised Abraham that he would be have descendants forever. And those descendants are the Jewish people. So that is the good news there. But, you know, the other good news, too, if we want to put our thinking caps forward,
sure,
is that if the church is still here during Psalm 83, and I'm not sure we will be, but if the church is still here, Israel will bring stability into that area. I believe, according to what I write in Israelistine, I found in the scriptures, that Israel will expand somewhat. They will become wealthy. They'll become secure. They'll be dwelling without walls. And, you know, Genesis 12:3 tells us that those who bless Israel will be blessed. Conversely,
right,
those who curse Israel will be cursed. If Israel becomes, you know, the victor, which they will in this battle, which probably will happen very soon, it will give America an opportunity to bless Israel, help them exploit the oil resources. We have skilled individuals that can help with that. And perhaps we as a nation, in a little interim window period of time, could be blessed for our blessing Israel. I would certainly encourage that in the aftermath of Psalm 83, whether or not the church is still present on earth at that time. America and the other nations should bless Israel so God can bless them in return.
Sure.
But I believe, Dave, that the Psalm 83 may be about what is to test the mettle of the Obama presidency. As I stated earlier, Israel is preparing for such a multi-front war with many of those populations listed in Psalm 83. And I believe that that psalm sets off a series of successive prophetic events that ultimately lead up to the Russian-Iranian-led invasion of Israel described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And then this probably segues into the one world order with its one world leader, mm-hmm. the Antichrist, and ultimately the cashless society or mark of the beast prophecy I alluded to earlier.
Right. Bill, how can we possibly prepare for these types of things?
Well, the best way, Dave, is to escape them. And that is accomplished through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, before he comes to rapture the church, true believing Christians are still here on earth. But probably not for long, Dave. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52 that Christians worldwide are going to be caught up to heaven in the twinkling of an eye. That's called the rapture event. Let me just read it for our listeners who are not familiar with it. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We, referring to those who put our faith into Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's echoed with a little more detail in 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And you know, that last sentence there, therefore comfort one another with these words, is critical. In these troubled times, like we've been talking about, we are instructed by the Bible to comfort one another with words of wisdom about the rapture. You know, 1 Corinthians tells us it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
We're to comfort each other with that. Now, Dave, let me echo the sentiments of my good friend Dr. Reagan. I told you we were in Broussard. This is right. How he concluded one of his presentations. He said, "I'm no longer looking for the signs. Now I'm listening for the shout and the voice of the archangel and the bellowing of the trumpet of God, singing, 'Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quick.'"
Amen. To you listeners, how about you? Have you accepted Christ in your life as of yet? We don't know if Christ is coming before or after Psalm 83, but we do know he has to be coming in the rapture event very soon. It's like Dr. Chuck Missler says, if you see the Christmas decorations going up at the malls, you know that Thanksgiving has to be just around the corner. And so it is with all these end times that Bill has been talking about. They suggest that the rapture is just around the corner. It could be tonight. It could be this weekend.
You know, Dave, well said. Michael Jackson woke up on June 25th of 2009, which happened to be my 56th birthday.
Oh.
And it turned out to be his last day. He had no idea that June 25th would be his last day on Earth. He was preparing for a major concert tour and seemed to be in good physical health. However, he, like all of us, have an appointment with death. And we know not when it is.
Mm.
You know, I want to give the listeners today, Dave, an opportunity right now to put their hope and trust in these troubling times into the Savior of Jesus Christ, who loves them and knows what's best for them. Don't put him off. Don't put this time off. He knows what's coming and how to prepare your life for it. Remember, as Dave and I have been talking about, Revelation 19:10 says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." Jesus said in John 3:3, "You must be born again to enter into salvation." To escape these things that are coming upon the earth in the rapture event, you must be born again. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We're told in Romans 9, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, Dave, back in the days of when Moses and the Hebrews were in Egyptian bondage,
mm-hmm.
God issued plagues upon Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was hail mingled with fire over the entire land of Egypt, except in one place, Dave, and that was the land of Goshen. And why? Because it is It was because this is where the Hebrew people were, the people mm-hmm. that God was about to rescue from centuries of Egyptian bondage. God isolated them from the devastating plague of hail mingled with fire. That same God is conspicuously putting his fingerprints all over the lives of his believers, even in these troubled times. People are losing homes and jobs and yes. retirements, and yet in case after case you hear a personal testimony of how God delivered them through each of life's present trials one by one.
Exactly.
How about you, dear listener? Are you ready to be born again and delivered through the troubling times and to be protected from these powerful prophetic events about to overtake humanity? If so, bow your heads with me right now and pray this prayer from your repentant heart. Come to the cross of Christ right now. You know, all of us, like sheep, says in Isaiah 53:6, have gone astray. Dave and I and all of us born-again believers had once upon a time gone astray and were at enmity with God.
Mm.
Isaiah says we have all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Mm.
Jesus died for our sins. Pray with me right now. Jesus, I so much want to be born again. Please be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I am a sinner. I lay them before you. Please forgive me. Lord, these times coming are perilous. Come into my life and show me your ways, that I may be a light in this dark, troubling time, Lord. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Right now, I give you my life. I give you all of my life. Lord, thank you so much. I love you, and I commit myself herein to you.